Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads where bandits are. Catacombs and giant doors protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's
ore.
A grand theft of Elder Scrolls, Simon's Quest with Toe and Earl, rocket shoes to Everclue, Easter eggs and gaming news. The boldest need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit and gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Well, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can catch us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, download the show. It's called Control Issues. You should already know.
In case you weren't listening to 5 seconds ago.
Rate it, subscribe to it, download it, listen to it, review it, disagree with it, agree with it. Whatever you want to do is
agree with
you.
It by giving more stars
and money. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, do that. Go to twitch.tv/controlissuespod. We put up gameplay from time to time. That's about that. At my control issues, that's the Twitter. Follow us, we keep you updated.
That's about it. Check out the Marie tweets so you can know what we looking at and what we excited for.
See what's worth paying attention to and what you can ignore.
So, A-Dub, what you been playing this week?
Well, this week was a little something special. I grabbed what did I talk about Uncharted Lost Legacy last week?
Yeah, you did.
I think I did. So I had that, still working at that a little bit, but I also picked up Destiny 2.
Oh, you became that shill?
Yeah. The corporate apologist. Picked up Destiny 2, picked up the Curse of Osiris DLC, dove back in. It's been ages since I played Destiny. Like, it's probably been years. I never got into the game after taking King, so all I know is vanilla Destiny from when it originally came out way back when. Jump into Destiny 2, immediately note so much is different. Like, the action is incredible. So far, the story and the characters are pretty engaging. Like, it has these things now. Stuff's happening. There's context. There's weight. But in addition to that, it feels like I never left. The moment I started pulling the trigger, it all started coming back to me. I'm sprinting toward enemies. I'm sliding, hitting dudes, trying to hide behind corners, pulling off headshots like it's nobody's business. It's like reconnecting with an old friend. But who went off and like improved themselves and came back and was like, yo, we still cool, but now we got more at our disposal. Yeah, man. But I'm excited. Imported my hunter. Didn't even try to spend any time making a character. Definitely notice a difference in the facial quality, because in the original Destiny, I had her pretty tight. In this one, she don't look that tight anymore, but she still looks the same. Which is fun. And yeah, man, I really don't see much of a difference gameplay wise from the original Destiny to now. Like, it still seems like the same thing to me, but it's still incredibly engaging. You know, people are everywhere, public events popping off. I'm taking on missions. I'm just really consuming it at my own pace, having a blast. I knew I was going to like it. I wanted to avoid getting taken kinged again, which I guess I just stepped right in front of, just jumped in the street, whatever, taken king me. But yeah, man, I'm enjoying Destiny a lot. What about you, AMC? What you been playing?
So, AMC, I played a lot of Persona. That was the previous week. Played some more Mario this week.
And then Mario.
Yeah, Mario's been the shit. Wow, there's a lot more to this game than I even thought was going to be in, like, the new game plus, I guess. After you beat, like, the main storyline with Bowser, I told you, like, you go to basically the home world of the bunnies, and you kind of learn their backstory by reading the brochure on where they live. But then it goes on and you get to another part of that level, and there's all these levels that are incredibly tough, similar to the Perfect Run in Mario Galaxy. This one has a couple levels, all that level of difficulty, and it's you're dying frustrated somewhere. Literally, Marissa and I are playing, and it's like, we will have to beat this tomorrow, because today is all about just learning how to get past this one part of the level. Because once you do one thing, then you got to figure out the next thing. And once you figure out the next thing, you got to do this thing. And as you do it, there's no checkpoints, so you got to just do it all perfectly. So you're kind of just breaking down each level in sections. And once you get to that point where you can master all of them, then you get through it. So it's the challenge is definitely there in the end game if you're sticking around to play it. Also learned, so I mentioned before that we were guessing that this game was going to have about like 600 moon pieces, but I read somewhere it was like actually closer to like 900, and I was just looking at the numbers like it doesn't really make sense how that's possible. But if you play it, and you'll see why a lot more moon pieces get added, and with the same level of like fun, same level of difficulty, which is some are like just non-existent, like as far as like you just see it and it's just glowing there and you run and grab it. So like not much difficulty at all. And then others where you really have to think about it. So it's just more content added back onto the previous worlds with new characters, some changes at, to things that were hinted at before when you were originally playing the game are now taking place, so the characters are configured different and like maybe celebrating a different thing. So it's pretty awesome. It's like playing an expanded version of the current game without getting DLC or something.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm loving that. Other than that, also got Destiny 2. Your boy got Destiny 2. We actually played a little bit together on that Destiny 2.
You're damn right.
Yeah, so my thoughts on it, really enjoying it. It really became one of those things where, like, reading about it, like, controversy and whatnot, just actually got me interested in the game again, because I was just looking at, like, all the stuff that they were adding, some of the fixes that they were putting in place for the things that people were complaining about, and then the new content that was being added in. And then just looking at, this was a game that I was sitting there thinking about when it came out, like, God, there are so many games. I'm playing Persona. I'm playing this. I want to get Mario Odyssey when it comes out. There's just no room for Destiny. And
oh, you're going to make room for Destiny.
Yeah, and just hit a point where it's like, all right, well, I beat Mario. I'm just doing that extra content. I got 75 hours into Persona.
God damn.
Yeah, but still got plenty more to go as it seems at the moment. But then I was just like, you know what? I got to get Destiny. And basically the game that I had been working in up until this point was Overwatch. And so I saw an opening there. I was like, all right, I can get Destiny, move out Overwatch, or play it like a little bit less, like only around events. And I have this other game now that I could step into its place. And so moving Destiny in there, just waiting for that discount, the Game Awards happen. You know that the flash sales always come right after the Game Awards. Saw that they had the bundle with the double expansion and the main game for, I think, about like 60. So basically getting the game for like $30 and buying the expansion pack. They had that sale for 2 days, scooped up both of them, hopped in. And yeah, loving it so far. It just feels like an old glove that's been worked in. An analogy I like to think of is Call of Duty is one of those games that people kind of like, you could say like bro gamers or whatever, play these games. But like, no matter the complaints you have, you can't deny just how well put and like how perfect the package is of just that gun combat in Call of Duty. And Destiny feels the same when you get that pistol and you fire that shot and you feel the power, you hear the sound, and you feel it connect on the enemy, that return of force from getting the headshots and like just the flash on the screen and like just seeing like the air like burst from like the enemy's shoulder as you get that shot and drop them, see that loot fall from his body. It's, I don't know, that feeling feels great. So immediately when you do that, it's like, oh shit, this feels just right, just like the Destiny that I loved. I had only played pretty much the vanilla version. I didn't even get one expansion of the original Destiny. So I played that for what it was, never did a raid. Enjoyed it, but just not enough to keep up with it. saw the improvements with Taken King. And so keeping up with this one, knowing like, hey, you know what? I'm basically now playing the improved Taken King, but a Destiny version of Destiny, but in Destiny 2 now. So with all those updates and fixes. So playing that, seeing like all the additions to the Warlock, first time playing that, and seeing all the subclasses with the Dawnblade, it just shows that there's a lot of level of like customization with how you decide to build up your characters with having different like skill loadouts, so having different specials, different modifiers on top of those. And then you throw into that like just the guns and the different style of weapons that I had never really played in the other one, because I don't think I remember ever having just the heavy sword as like an option for my heavy weapon. Having that available just like kind of threw like another like addition that I had missed out up until this point. So the game just feels really good. The world feels a little more like fleshed out, because every time I'm going somewhere, there's just enemies dropping in. I definitely have a lot more people playing around me when I'm not doing the main quest, so just out in the world with public events. The public events seem to pop up like every 5 minutes, so right when I'm hopping on, there's usually a public event like getting ready to happen that I can just run over to, or there's one that's already in progress and I can just join up in it. So that's the part where it definitely feels like an MMO. The Destiny that I was really looking forward to when I jumped into Destiny 1, that fact that I can just jump in and run around with other people and get rewards for it after like taking out like just a quick like public boss.
Yes.
Also, I for some reason in the original Destiny, when the public events would happen, like a big bad would show up. You would kind of just shoot him down and that would be the end of it. Having the objectives with all the different public bosses and like the heroic actions that happen from that, really, it's pretty cool to see that there's more objective too than just shooting down the enemy. You're all coordinated, working together to take him down like on one, and then you run up, you collect like some arc flashes or orbs, use that to then power down this shield, and then you can use the big weapon on that to shoot down the enemy.
Those flame cannons.
Yeah, exactly. And so you see this coordination with everybody to take down this one boss. So it's not just a stand there and knock numbers out. It's a heavy coordination. So I don't know. It's just, it feels awesome. Feels like it's just been like shined like to a perfect package that like I can't get enough of right now. So yeah, very happy to be playing Destiny.
Likewise, man. I can't wait to get out of here and go hop right back on. Yeah. I think I'm skipping dinner.
Yeah, man. Yeah, there's going to be some good stuff like coming down. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of updates, because the fact that we're both playing this, we'll probably have a lot to talk about like from week to week with where we're at, what we're working towards, and kind of like our experience of like playing together, playing solo. So
talk about my pulse rifle.
Yeah, hell yeah. So yeah, let's just get right into it. This was a big week, I'd say. I mean, things happened.
It's a potentially bigger week than it turned out being.
Yeah, and to no fault of the Game Awards, which is like, I'm not going to say the more surprising one, because there are usually like trailers and some announcements, but when you're followed up by PSX, you're expecting PSX to really like hit you with that overhand right after like the setup jab.
With everything that you thought that they were holding back throughout the year.
Yeah, so we'll get in first into the Game Awards.
Yes.
Because that's the chronological order.
Your boy Jeff Keighley.
Your boy, he had his boys show up this week.
Yes.
He had Kojima and Guillermo del Toro.
The super crew.
Yeah, the super crew. I mean, just time to fanboy. You know, he's got the homies out there. But let's get right into it. So they show a Death Stranding trailer.
Yes, 8 minutes.
Yeah, this is now, what, the third big trailer from Death Stranding?
Yes.
8 minutes. Still no real gameplay, but it's now starting to kind of like come together as far as make a little more sense story-wise.
I mean, like, what's going on? What's the relationship with whatever the hell it is that you're facing? Yeah, so we learned quite a bit, even if it was just a cinematic trailer.
Yeah.
It gave us a great number of details.
So get into like what you were like kind of what you took away from it.
Well, what I took away from it is now we kind of understand a little bit of what the babies are all about. So it looks like the babies power this rig that allows the people to detect where these creatures are. The creatures seem to be like, you know, they exist in a different dimension or something. I can't say they're invisible because it's like you can't see them, but I don't think that they're on the same plane. They also seem to respond to sound. So that says to me that there's probably some stealth that's going to be played into the game. Conventional weaponry like bullets and things like that don't seem to have any noticeable effect whatsoever. You don't ever really see them except for like the giant head, the headless giant that was in the distance that exploded and suddenly we're at the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And then there was also the giant sea creature made out of a bunch of random limbs.
Yeah, there's a lot of randomness going on. At least like what seemed like randomness, but I mean, you can kind of see a cohesive story being like, or a narrative being put together there.
Yeah. Like, for instance, the trailer opens up. There's an overturned truck. Some guy's leg is pinned under it. One dude's helping him, the most proactive of the group. The Norman Reedus character is tending to some deceased body that's on the ground. Then the interdimensional creature starts showing up. We start seeing all the special things that they have to do in order to avoid being spotted by this thing and also to sort of manipulate it to save each other's lives. One guy just gets taken off. It's done. He tried to kill himself on the way out. So I imagine whatever goes on with those creatures is worse than death itself.
Yeah, because he kills his homie who's getting dragged away. He shoots him. And then when he's getting sucked up, just starts stabbing himself.
Oh.
So it's like that idea of like, don't let me become a zombie, but like, don't let me become part of them.
Yeah.
Like they're somehow feeding and that's just making them more powerful.
Yeah. It seems like the creatures are consuming life on Earth and evolving in a sort of chaotic, natural way where it seems like maybe we're doing something with these babies since they're capable of detecting these aliens. And so it seems like it might be an evolutionary arms race for us to take what we need from them while they're trying to consume us.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting part with the babies is they also seem a little more sentient than you would think a fetus would be.
Yeah.
Because
when Norman fetus.
Yeah, you see the baby open its eyes, it kind of looks out, it even reacts to the person that's holding him. So it's not just like a baby that wakes up, sees things, smiles and cries. Like it's definitely thinking.
It's helping.
Yeah. So the idea that you might have the sentient being that you can interact with is another another like monkey wrench that they threw into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks cool. Obviously no gameplay, but the idea that you have this fetus and you have these enemies that you're trying to avoid, an intricate enough plot as far that you can take from impossible gameplay mechanics that would be a little different than the usual, I guess, like HUD or just like Lifeline system, having this baby in another way to possibly do an escort mission style game.
Babysitting mission.
Yeah, like almost on the level of
breastfeeding mission.
What was that one game? Not Shadows of Colossus, but Echo, how you're carrying that girl around.
Yeah.
You're having this baby and you're moving around the world. Who knows when we finally see some gameplay, but at least it seems like he knows what he's doing and it's not just a bunch of randomness. He also showed up to PSX with that robot on his back, Hideo Kojima,
mm-hmm.
with the, I guess, the scanner thing. So he's definitely pushing this this idea.
Yeah, he's all about his weirdness, his craziness. But yeah. I love it.
But it's Kojima. There might be a method to this madness.
He said the trailers are connected.
Yeah.
We finished this one. The baby was in Norman Reedus' body. That's when he was looking at that empty tube, but the baby was in there, I guess, protecting him from spores and parasites.
And, well, it also like kind of goes full circle because by the end of it, it goes back to the things floating in the air, much like how the first one, the first trailer that we saw where you see them, like the gods or whatever floating in the air. This one goes full circle all the way back pretty much to that moment. So, yeah, totally cohesive.
Yeah, can't wait to see what's really going on.
So some quick awards to get into at the Game Awards, because they have an interesting way of some interesting ideas. But okay, so the best art direction, not much of a surprise, went to Cuphead.
Not Assassin's Creed?
nah, not that Ubisoft. Not those faceless dudes.
They made giant stone pyramids.
Cuphead. Cuphead also won Best Indie.
Damn.
Yeah. So I mean, Cuphead got its due at the awards, which is awesome. I don't think there's too much argument. I think Persona in that category with art direction and
That mess looks incredible. It looks like an anime.
Yeah, it's like that. It was the next level of like animes as far as I'm concerned. Like, we need more of that and less of some other stuff.
Interactive anime.
Just highly stylized with great music and everything.
Dragon Ball Fighters.
Dragon Ball anime.
Dragon Ball anime.
Dragon Ball anime. Yeah. Another one, best ongoing game.
I think that's an interesting and necessary category, considering that we're playing games longer now and they're being supported throughout the duration of their life cycles. So I thought that was a good move on Jeff Keighley's part, on the Game Awards part.
Well, yeah, and it's just also that idea, like, let's give due to games that are still, like, after, like, the 1 year mark, are still, like, putting out new and interesting things to keep its fan base around. It's this idea, like, people are like, oh, I should be able to buy a game, play it, and then sell it to GameStop, and then buy a new game. And it's like, all right, let's shout out the guys that are basically keeping their audiences around and just didn't put out this one product and disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at, like, yeah, like, Demon's Souls getting, like, they just shut down the servers. So you, clearly these fan bases are sticking around. So the winner of that one was Overwatch.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, well-deserved. Obviously a game that we're still playing. One of my favorite games of this like console cycle.
One of my favorite games of all time. I'm filling out my list.
Yeah. I mean, I think PUBG might have been on there. GTA. Which is funny because it's like just coming out technically.
Not even out technically.
And then Rockstar, GTA Online or GTA 5.
That, I mean, if Overwatch wasn't going to win, GTA should have won.
Yeah, the fact that that game is, if you're just going with the numbers, the sales numbers, GTA probably should have won. But yeah, I mean, just the fandom behind Overwatch, the league coming, the videos, the cosplay, the events, the new characters still coming out, Kaplan coming down from high atop every now and then to just speak to us.
He like lives God. In a real ivory tower.
Yeah. And just comes down with data. I've read the analytics. Yeah, so I can't argue with that at all. He reads
analytics.
Yeah. Can't argue with that at all. Overwatch killing it. So best ongoing game. You know, people talk shit about games as a service, and this is the direction of the industry, and how dare they update a game? I already gave them my money.
But everything else is dying.
Yeah, I love that Jeff like took a moment to like, hey, let's note these people that are keeping their games current. Another announcement that we saw, because Nintendo showed up in full force.
Pulled the Master Sword on stage.
Homie with the tunic.
That one-off that nobody can get.
Yeah, Reggie also in the house, because Reggie be in the house.
With his big-ass hand.
Yeah, with his big-ass hand and his big-ass switch ass pin.
Easter Island head.
Damn.
We love you, Reggie. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but Reggie showed up, talked about some good Switch stuff. I announced that there would be a Bayonetta 1 and 2 port coming to the Switch.
Damn, that's huge news, man. What could possibly be better than that?
Bayonetta 3 also coming to the Switch.
Oh, no.
Getting all that naked fighting.
Big bay dog.
Throwing them combos. Yeah, Bayonetta, one of those games. Bayonetta 2 was on the Wii U, and I believe got like critically was like in the 90s or so if you were to look at the Metacritic. Just a game that like a lot of people love, but also just got put out on the Wii U and not a lot of people touched it.
Yeah.
not a lot of people got to love it, but people heard about it. So cool to see that it'll get new life on the Switch. I'm saying just port everything from the Wii U to the Switch. I know you don't want to make it seem like the Wii U people invested in nothing, But you know what? You got to let people play these great games that they didn't get to touch on the tablet. So
I mean, hey, HD DVD didn't survive.
Yeah.
Kinect discontinued.
Yeah, so yeah, great to see that Bayonetta getting some love on the Switch, so people will get to play that character coming soon. Hopping ahead, Game of the Year. Oh, were there any other awards that you saw that
of note? Not that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't paying. Oh, we did see the best kills and all that good stuff.
Best kills. Oh, the sniper. The quick scoping.
Yeah, that shit was some bullshit. But Game of the Year, there are some games in there. There's notably not one game, but the winner at the end was Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Nah, I suppose that makes sense. I mean, it got a perfect 10 for many outlets. Mm-hmm. It's Zelda, so yeah. It's open world. You can just abuse physics and make the impossible seem real. Mm-hmm. It's Zelda.
If you think it and it has those properties, you can make it. You can manipulate it to do those things.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So yeah, I can't argue with that. Haven't played Zelda. That's one of those games that I'm going to be eventually getting on the Switch. Mario Odyssey was also up in that category. I'm loving that. That's up on my list, but I'm not going to say who wins it for me, Game of the Year-wise.
Not until the trolleys.
Yeah, and yeah, can't really complain about all the other games that were on that list, because this was a year of like heavy hitters, and even the ones that didn't make it, I feel like it's not a knock to them, because it's just one of those years. I mean, what Horizon and Zelda came out within like a week of each other. It's crazy, man.
Horizon got a lot of nominations.
Yeah, exactly.
No wins.
Yeah, but
that sucks. It's a great game, but hey, that just goes to show you that this year was pretty stacked.
Yeah, it was madness.
I mean, there was barely any mention of the other first half games that came out this year, like Gravity Rush 2.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I think Resident Evil might have been nominated, and like I think Direction.
Yeah,
but it's just crazy. Like Resident Evil also came out this year. Like there's just so many damn games to play right now. Mm-hmm. Destiny was in there. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see that shit going down. So, can't complain. Game Awards, fun. Got to see the homie Jeff Keighley. Got to see Hideo Kojima show up.
Was he keeling it?
He was killing it.
Jeff Keighley, keeling it.
Was he doing Kegels?
He was doing Kegs the whole time. Kegeling it.
Tightening his asshole. Yeah, jumping in the head. Jumping in the head.
Norman Reedus babies.
Yeah, jumping ahead. PSX back at Anaheim. So AWMC, we meet up Saturday.
Doing it,
wow. And we run in there, and we walk out. We walk in. We see Days Gone. We see just Destiny 2. We see Brawlhalla. We see all the games as we walk into PSX. And so what were your thoughts on PSX this year? Second year.
Well, I mean, as much stuff as I did see as I walked around the convention, as I walked around the whatever, the exhibit hall or whatever the hell you call a convention room. As I was walking around the convention, there were a lot of cool things to see, a lot of cool indies. And there was just, you know, a lot of VR stuff, a lot of different kind of, displays and booths. I think there were a lot of demos. Like you said, we played Brawlhalla, and I feel like I played another game. I just can't remember which one it was.
You're talking about the greatest game in the world, that Wizard of Legend?
We definitely got our hands on Wizard of Legend, and that was a blast.
That's a day one for me now.
I'm holding on.
That was like my... If there was a takeaway, I mean, Wizard of Legend looked great in the trailer. So did like so many other games, like Hyper Light Drifter and all these other games. But Wizard of Legend looked incredible in the trailer, but playing it just like made it like, oh, there's a lot more to this. There's more elements. There's different builds for my characters. The co-op feels great. The enemy like attacks and movements feel awesome. The level design is great.
The variety of spells and elements.
Yeah, procedurally generated levels that feel good dungeon crawling. Yeah, the variety of skills, setting certain like skills to different button mapping, feeling like Diablo in that way.
Extremely taxing boss battles.
Yeah,
we got to the boss and he just shredded us.
And that was like another thing too, is like I asked him about like, do the different elements affect like different enemies differently, because you had what, like earth, ice, fire, lightning.
Yep.
I believe he told me there were 6 total elements, so that'll be interesting to see all of them. But like all different in their own way, from like a melee to a projectile to like a big attack,
mm-hmm.
with cooldowns. So it's not like you have limited usage. You just have cooldowns, so you have to time it right. So that's pretty cool. You don't have to worry about like using up certain like big moves or not.
Mm-hmm.
Dashing feels great. You can also knock enemies off the sides. On certain parts, you can knock them like into the pits.
Oh, I need to try that.
Yeah. So like it was, and then like you get to the final boss and he's like fucking impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the case.
You just see the areas of effect of his spells and you're trying to move, it gets you.
Yeah. But it just shows too, like, that building up your character is like the way to go before you take on these bosses.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like the big one for me. You know, PSX, it was cool. I'll say at the actual event, I enjoyed it. A little bit of a letdown, I will say, just because last year, maybe we were spoiled, but on the AAA side, we had Horizon there, which was like the big demo that we got to play with all the TVs, the 4K quality and all that good stuff, and looked amazing. This year, I guess the big AAA game would be like Detroit, and I didn't demo it because that's one of those ones that's like, yeah, you know what, like when I experience it, I'll play it, but I didn't really need to play through a scenario that I'm going to be playing when I get the game.
Yeah, and like how would you even demo that detective mode and expect people to get the necessary probability to negotiate that situation?
Yeah, so we did watch the trailer for it, the gameplay trailer that they showed at the keynote is what we'll call it.
Yeah.
The round table, the sit down on the couch.
The couch table.
Yeah, the couch table. It was there wasn't a lot going on there, but the Detroit demo was pretty cool, the live demo, and seeing like the probability of like as you're getting hints of you successfully completing the objective, which in this case was to save the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're doing things, those actions and how you might use them, the build up all the way to the final confrontation with the hostage situation. It was a pretty cool take on the whole like detective style of gameplay. On top of that, with like the quick time events, so it just didn't feel like you're just walking and you push a button and then like a sequence takes place. Like you really felt like you were in control of the clue finding aspect of it.
Yeah.
So that game looks amazing.
You're reconstructing the scene.
Yeah. But
learning your boy's name so you could put some respect on his name.
Yeah.
Make him feel like he's in control of the situation.
Feel like you're one of his boys.
Yeah.
and getting like a little backstory so you can empathize with him. Cool there. But like as far as like demoing, yeah, a little upset that like I wanted to play like Days Gone, possibly Spider-Man. Even
God of
like,
War.
Yeah, even like see like a demo of Ghost of Tsushima. As a possibility, but yeah, none of that really. No new stuff from any of
that. None of that.
It was pretty much like everything that they had to show was at Paris Games Week.
So, and they had Days Gone, God of War, and Spider-Man playing on TVs that you could stand around and watch.
And not new stuff either.
Not new stuff either. They had demos for Sword of Ditto. They had demos for all kinds of cool indie games. Like, I really enjoyed just standing back and watching a lot of the talent that was there. I think Children of Morta had a demo. Yes, I didn't get my hands on that, unfortunately. I mean, it was a mixed bag. I mean, it was good for indies, as it usually is. I feel like we were expecting Sony to just pull out the big guns that they were saving all year for this show, and it seems like there weren't any big guns.
Yeah, it seemed like if I were to like look at it like especially with the past couple like press conferences, they came out swinging early because they had to emphasize we have these exclusives and also there's this Xbox One X on the way. So we want to make sure to remind people where we got these games. So they just announced all these games kind of early, which is cool. But now at this point, they're kind of like Yeah. By the way, we got these games. Every time you see PlayStation, it's a reminder. We got these games on the way. Spider-Man, God of War, blah, 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 Detroit. So they're constantly reminding us. But yeah, it's gotten to a point like, yeah, we need to see like a little bit more. Surprisingly, didn't see Ni No Kuni 2, which is like something that's like they announced last year, showed a little footage, and I would assume that like a year later, a game that you might not want to showcase at E3, like take up stage time, why not show it at PSX, but not here.
Still waiting for Wild to come back to the surface.
Yeah, that game, the ever-changing game.
We saw Dreams and didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah, they had a live presentation of Dreams where you could come up, sit down on a beanbag, post up and watch a dude talk about Dreams and play through what I guess they called a level, but didn't really understand what was going on. Like, you would get to a node, you would activate it, and some stuff would happen, but I didn't really see a lot of manipulating of the level. They emphasize a lot that these are like character, these are creations by the players, so they can kind of do whatever they want with the levels. But as far as like seeing like a purpose or like, I'm definitely that guy. What's the point?
You're one of those.
Yeah, when it comes to Dreams,
well, what
right
do
now,
I do?
Yeah, like when you're looking at that game, I don't really see a lot of like direction, and that might be the downfall of this game, unless from this like birth some like different types of like creations within it that become big things, like I guess on a level like Battle Royale or like PUBG, like people end up creating some games within it that like end up exploding or whatever. I have no idea. But
exploring the unknown.
Yeah, exploring the unknown. But or the possibilities of these dreams that they've created for us. But yeah, so Dreams, that's one of those ones that just needs to come out so that we can really see what's going on there.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, I think that's pretty much like my PSX experience.
I think I had largely the same experience.
Yeah, like we saw some interesting things. I can't remember that one game, but it's where you're the four player co-op, and you're going through like what I described as what they wanted Uncharted to be, based on like the 5 minutes that you play of every Uncharted game. Once it gets like very mystical, the mysticism, oh, that game, wait, with like the zombies and like the mummies or whatever.
Yeah,
and you're kind of like setting up like traps and everything as you try to move through the world. You got a double barrel shotgun hunting rifle, I guess.
There's, I don't want to say like Broken Promises, but that sounds kind of close.
Yeah, Gang Beasts was there also, but I mean,
finally ready.
We've seen Gang Beasts. We played Gang Beasts last year, so nothing new there. Kingdom Come was there with a live demonstration of dudes dueling, like socking each other in the face in public. It was pretty amazing.
That's how you pack the booth.
Yeah. So there's some interesting stuff on the way, but yeah, just not a lot from like the Sony exclusives that I was excited to see, but that's all right.
A whole lot of multiplayer.
Yeah, a lot of multiplayer. So you can be excited. Actually, you know what? A lot of VR too. Rick and Morty was there.
A lot of VR. Rick and Morty VR, yeah.
Yeah, so for all the naysayers saying that Sony doesn't support their products.
Yeah.
There is definitely a lot of VR support. So you can look forward to that if you're into like VR and experiences.
Oh, and to run it back to the Game Awards, we also saw a little teaser trailer for From Software's new game.
We saw some of nothing.
A whole bunch of nothing. Well, I mean, I have a theory about that as well. I mean, so this teaser is very simple to explain. It opens up. There's this mechanism that's connected to what look like the lower leg bones, like a shin bone, your fibula and your tibia. It looks like that. And then there's nothing. It says Shadows Die Twice. And then gives us the From Software logo. So what my belief is that if you look at their franchises and how they've progressed since Demon's Souls came in the picture, you can kind of get an idea of where they might be going. You know, with Demon's Souls, you get all your swords, you get all your armor, you're fighting against all these just demons, you're clashing steel with all these creatures. You move on to Bloodborne, and suddenly your steel is transforming and you have weapons that change into different weapons and alter your movesets, alter your range, things like that. What I feel like they were trying to convey with this trailer, with these leg bones connected to this mechanism, is that maybe your character, or there will be characters that are, that have their weapons built into their bodies. Like, they become one with their weapons. It's all medieval and primitive. So they're like taking apart the body and putting it back together with these archaic mechanisms inside. So, you know, that's just a little simple cursory scan of what's going on in a little theory.
Yeah, they we'll see how it pans out. They didn't give much, but if what you're saying, like, they went that route, it would be interesting to see them not go Bloodborne 2 or go back to Dark Souls or Demon Souls, to just go completely different game, but also within the same vein. So it just becomes more of like a genre that is the From Software, that kind of that horror feel, that goth feel, still there, but not necessarily pulling from the same games. It's just a tone that they then adapt into a different style of, like, I don't know, what would you call it? Like a fighter. Yeah, that could be, that'd be cool. I mean, some people want Bloodborne 2. I don't need a Bloodborne 2, and I don't need another Dark Souls. So that would get my interest back into those style of games if, like, that's what From was working on.
I'm just waiting for Armored Core 6. I know they're working on it. I need it in my bloodstream right now.
You need some mech in your stream?
I need some
mech. We did play that. I can't remember that game ever either, but from the China Project.
Game, yeah, or the China Hero Project.
Yeah, China Hero Project.
That game was called.
They showed up in full force, and they had this like mech battle style game. Interesting. Didn't really get like a full grasp of what was going on, but it was kind of a fun deathmatch style mech game, and from like a 2D perspective, fun. Is what,
yeah,
I'll say.
Just raw fun.
But need to see more of it, but yeah.
Yeah, and then, hold up. We also saw what looks like it may be the follow-up to the Friday the 13th Jason game. They had the Jason versus Freddy. Or
so was Jason, it Jason and versus Freddy. Yeah, because it looked like you still have the counselors, but you see Freddy, at least on the pictures, we saw Freddy, and then the gameplay I was watching, it was Jason killing everybody.
In first person.
Yeah. It looks interesting.
Looks very interesting. Looks much more polished than the Friday the 13th game. Like, the animations look much better. The raw visual quality is definitely on par with what you'd come to expect from games these days. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, especially if Freddy is in the game and there's Freddy gameplay. Like, do you go inside their dreams?
Do you get to manipulate the world of their dreams?
Yes. Do you get to play dreams?
Yeah. Is this more coherent than dreams?
What if there was like a group of people who got together and just made nightmares?
Nightmares of the game.
They all got dreams and they just made these horror survival type of levels where just the wildest things you can imagine are coming at you.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yes, the Nightmares pack.
Nightmare pack. Yeah. Anything else from PSX? There are a lot of games. I just don't remember any of the names of the games.
That I know. I'm fishing as much as I can.
Because they're like just games where you're just walking and be like, hey, here's a controller. Like, okay.
Nobody's playing this.
Yeah, like that one game where you're out in like the jungle and it's like a cult and you got to go to certain areas, free people. It's a lot of stealth, but you do get shotguns. You have to search like different cabins. If you take out people, you got to stash the bodies. Mm-hmm. Like almost like a top-down modern-day Metal Gear game, but you're on like you're in like a cult compound trying to like I guess subvert the leader.
Yeah, trying to get your brother out or something.
Yeah, that was interesting. A little jank, but see like. They had some interesting stuff going on there. At one point, I died during the demo, and instead of just restarting, I end up trapped in this cage out in the middle of like a river, and this guy's talking to me after he's done with his dialogue. He walks away, and then I escape from it. So it's instead of killing me, they decided to keep me alive, and that was the thing that the developer described to me in this game that will go unnamed, based on your actions. So if you kill the cult people, the cultists, as opposed to disarm them and take them out and like stash them somewhere, they will react differently to you when they find you. And so in this case, they kept me alive and I was able to move on. But he said if I had gone around killing people in the compound, they would have taken my life.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
And then another thing that was interesting about that is that when you were captured, the developer said, well, it kind of worked in your favor because you're closer to the objective now.
Yeah.
So this game that shall remain nameless for the time being, it, according to the developer, it procedurally generates the island, as well as it chooses a random cult leader, and their responses to your actions will vary depending on their personalities.
Yeah, so procedural generation showing back up again, because that was also in Wizard of Legend. Yeah, so enjoy that. Enjoy them reskin levels.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, no. Nah.
Why are you hating? To your hating ass and attracted the most unattractive being in the gaming world.
So you guys like loot boxes? You like getting throttled XP? You like you like Activision? You like games as a service? You like DLC? Troll of the week, 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 troll of the week. Troll of the week, 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 troll of the week.
Games as a service, loot boxes, single players dying. I don't buy games new.
Locking away content.
The guy putting up the paywall. Putting up the paywall, putting up the paywall, putting up the paywall, putting up the paywall. Putting up the paywall. All right, so today's troll has a very interesting opinion about Hideo Kojima in Death Stranding. So he creates a thread called, "Who thinks Death Stranding looks like total trash?"
Total trash.
Total trash.
Nothing good about it.
No redeeming qualities whatsoever. Norman Reedus is trash.
The gameplay is trash.
Babies are trash. I watched the Game Awards and was thoroughly disappointed. As much as I love Metal Gear Solid series, I have no excitement for Death Stranding. I'm not saying the game will be trash because I have no idea what the game will be. I'm just tired of people telling Hideo Kojima how much of a genius he is.
See, here's the awesome part about that. See, he does like the, if you want to break down his trollness, he does the thing where he tries to act like he's not a troll by saying, I loved all the Metal Gear Solid games, but then goes on.
I have black friends.
Yeah, I love all the Metal Gear Solid games, but then in the same sentence says, but Kojima's overrated.
Yeah. I've run into this kind of thing a lot on the internet. It's where people,
I played all of his games.
They try to disqualify any kind of counter that you'll have. But at the same time, they're just contradicting themselves, because if you loved anything he did, then he is a genius.
Yeah.
Because he got you.
So he doesn't want to come off as he's already predetermined that anything that this guy does post Metal Gear is going to be whack, because he believes that he's like, oh no, I believe in this guy, but this game,
this game
proves that he isn't a great developer.
See, we got another one. I'm not the one to drink Kojima bathwater anymore. Weird to me isn't considered exciting to me.
That Kojima bathwater.
That bathwater. That
throw out the baby with, throw out the fetus with the bathwater.
Them nano beads and them shea butters. Throwing out the fetus with the bathwater.
Throwing out Norman with the bathwater.
See, last troll says, I'm just tired of him getting worshipped, and I know he doesn't know the meaning of being humble. Hideo Kojima doesn't know the meaning of being humble.
I've talked to him.
The guy who only ever shows his face when he's working on a game.
The guy who only does debuts for his games at his homies award show.
Yep.
Not at the big E3 press conference.
Not sometime in the middle of the year.
Nah. He's like, nah, and my homie's throwing on a show. You know what? I'll show up with my new game with the new trailer just for my boy Keeley. Mm. Show up with the director and the actor. Just for my boy Keeley.
The director and they better be making a Pacific Rim game.
Oh yeah, that kaiju.
Oh my god, can you imagine the co-op?
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, man. So first of all, you start off saying that Death Stranding looks like trash. Then you try to backpedal and say that you don't think it's trash. It's like, come on, man. Make up your mind. First of all, we haven't even seen the game, so we can't form any kind of final judgments like this. Although I am willing to go out on a limb and say that this is brewing up to be some kind of... This is going to be a classic. I'm just going to go out there and say it. It's the main reason why I believe this is because we've seen three trailers now, this one being the most indicative of what the situation might be with the gameplay. And even with as much as we've been shown, you still can't figure out exactly what that core loop is going to be. So I feel like what's going to happen with Death Stranding is that it's just going to be an awakening of a new kind of gameplay, a new kind of style, new kind of mechanics. And I think it'll be one of those that we'll keep looking to every so often, just like, wow, like this game did this and nothing else is doing the same. Like, I'm thinking about it in those terms in that sense.
I mean, like when I played Destiny, the first thing I thought is this developer humble? First time I played Zelda, I was like, is the guy in the tunic humble?
Because that's he gonna come out in this one-off tunic. He's full of himself. Fuck Zelda.
Yeah, he's just a prima donna. Konami tried to hold him down. Now he's just trying to get the sympathy vote.
The game's not gonna be out till 2020.
Yeah, game's gonna be trash. Not
that far off.
Yeah, and who cares? I mean, we know we got a new Kojima game coming out.
Unfiltered, unrestricted Kojima.
We'll be getting gameplay eventually, so excited about that.
Man, I thought we were going to be getting gameplay of Ghost of Tsushima.
But I knew this game was going to be trash, though, because it's called Death Stranding, and it's got Norman Reedus in it.
Yeah.
And too many people like the developer, so I know this game is going to be trash. I know
the developer made one of the most well-known franchises in gaming history. This game's going to be trash.
It's like the worst thing you can do is have like a face of the game, like as far as a developer, because then you have somebody to hate, like a Jonathan Blow.
Or a Todd Howard.
Or a Phil Fish. Yeah. Or Peter Molyneux.
Well, Phil Fish brought all that on himself. Or he could have been in the spotlight and been a completely different dude.
Or a Sean Murray. Like, it's just, you just think, name,
I feel bad for Sean.
You name all the dudes and you can just think of all the hate that gets thrown at them. Because if you put your face on anything, that means people hate you.
Except for Jeff Kaplan.
Don't put yourself above the game. People hate him too because they hate loot boxes. People hate everybody.
Yep. They
hate the
I'm not even gonna get into it. I can't.
Yeah, they hate the faceless corporation and then they hate the face developer. They hate everything. They'll never be happy. You got anything else to say for the people that want to hate on Kojima? The genius of Kojima?
I mean, we just keep running in circles. It's the same problems with the community as it always is. We're hating, and there's nothing there to hate.
I like the idea, too, of, like, Kojima not being humble. Like, these geniuses, and you look at, like, Kanye in comparison to Kojima, and you're like, no, they're on the same level of humble, which is non-existent.
Yeah.
They're on the same level of humble. So, yeah, that's what I think.
The lesser of two evils. They're just as bad. She's just as bad as him. False equivalencies.
The absence of evidence is evidence of truth. Troll of the week, 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 troll of
the week. You arrogant prick.
Sit down, be humble.
Make games. Sit down, make games.
Make games.
How to fetch, how to, that'll.
Yeah. So, I guess we could end it here. We're both excited about Destiny.
Yeah.
We're excited. I mean, so...
Got to put together a raid squad.
I guess games that you're looking forward to leaving PSX, we said Lizard of Legend.
Wizard of Legend.
Wizard of Legend.
100% Children of Morta.
There was that other game by them, too. I think it was like... Not Stormcaller. I'm still thinking about Destiny, but... It was like the light game
the top down Sundown something.
Yeah, I don't know. But that game looked great. Basically, look at I can't remember. Are they 11-bit or whatever?
11-bit did that too. Huh?
The studios, yeah. So
just they're pumping them out.
Look at everything that they're making. They also had like a top down shooter also that looked great. So just check out their three big games that they had at PSX.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and everything else. Spider-Man's going to be great. And Ghost of Tsushima, we might see something down
Ghost
the line.
Ghost of Tsushima, that's really all that I'm focusing on. Everything else is just periphery. Like, the indies are going to be nice in the interim, but I need me some Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima, yeah. That's the homie said.
He said at the show. Tsushima.
Tsushima.
That's probably the right way to say it.
Tsushima.
Hideo Tsushima.
Yeah, because I was here. Yeah, Hideo Kojima and then Kojima. Who knows?
Kojima.
Get my name. Put some respect on my name. What this was. Controller. Shoes.
AC.
AC. AC. Ada. AC.
Ada.
AC.
Controller. Playing
sucker.
Suckers. That's plain. That's plain. That's plain. Suckers. Control the shoes! That remix.